Hi, this is Philip Eby, and welcome to Life-Changing Secrets. This month, we're going to talk about the secrets of emotional mastery. Now, for a very long time, I was in denial about this subject. I felt that, of course, I was in charge of my emotions. I am a rational, intelligent individual, and I make my decisions based on logic and fact. And really, that was complete and utter bull, because the emotions that we don't realize we have are the ones that can control us most effectively. I was not aware of the despair that I had that influenced nearly every decision that I made. I was not aware of my rebellion against having to do things, even things that I decided myself to do. I wasn't aware of all of the options in life that were available to me, but which I didn't know about because I couldn't even think about the possibility of doing them. So great were the emotional blocks surrounding those subjects. So, as adults, we tend to suppress our emotions. We drive them down. We push them out. We stop feeling them. And as a result, we actually become less human, less able to feel joy as well as sorrow, less able to do the things that will bring us joy instead of sorrow. Because we are in the process of suppressing these emotions, disconnecting ourselves from the source of our emotions. So what is the source of our emotions? I like to say that the source of all our energy and motivation is the original you, the you that you were when you were a child. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that children are masters of their emotions. In fact, they're anything but. As children, we're driven entirely by our emotions, especially until we get to an age where we can also think. The problem is that as we learn to suppress our emotions, we also lose touch with the things that are important to us, and we start to drift away from that original self. We become a smaller, more compressed self that's extremely limited in what it can do without feeling, you know, anything from fear to anguish to guilt or shame. So these responses that we learn as children to fight, flee, freeze, or fawn, as I like to call them, the four Fs. As we learn these responses, we become unable to be as creative as we were as children. We become unable to express the ideas that we have and to go after the things that we'd like to do. You see, when we start out life, we start out with a completely blank slate. We can become anything that we want to be, and we have absolutely no resistance to going after what we want. It's only when we learn from our peers, from adults, from our environment, that there are certain things that we need to fight or run away from or freeze and not move, or, you know, exhibit various kinds of placating or fawning behavior, as I call it, including guilt, shame, embarrassment, even sadness and shyness. These are all emotional responses that we learn in order to protect ourselves when we're young children. And that would be all well and good if these emotions only had an effect on us while we're children. But the problem is that as adults, these emotions affect us too. We've just suppressed them so much that we don't necessarily notice that they're even there affecting our behavior. Or if we do know they're affecting our behavior, there really isn't much we can do about it. Because the sad truth is that our lives are run by five-year-old children. We descended from animals that have these emotional responses as their primary and only means of organizing behavior. So in an animal, these emotions are what tell it what to do each day as far as running its life. And if we lived in the jungle and, didn't have, the complex lives that we do, these emotions might well be sufficient to run our lives, they'd tell us immediately whether something is, something we see in the jungle is something we should attack or run away from or try to eat, or, these are some pretty basic responses. But in our day-to-day lives, we very rarely encounter anything that we should actually fight or run away from. I mean, certainly there are some circumstances, but, these are not things that really need to be controlled by our emotions. And the type of emotions that usually give us the most trouble, as a general rule, are the fawning emotions. The ones that have to do with kowtowing to superiors in a social hierarchy, to keeping our place in the pecking order, so to speak. And these emotions include guilt, shame, embarrassment, sorrow, despair, shyness, almost any kind of sadness, fear of criticism, fear of acceptance, or fear of lack of acceptance, I should say, fear of abandonment, all of the social blueprint emotions that are designed to ensure that our behavior, if we were actually pack animals, that we would continue to cooperate with the pack, fall in line with the dictates of the pack, and therefore continue to survive as part of the pack. See, for most social animals, existence on their own is not an option. For a animal to be expelled from its pack is effectively a death sentence in the wild. Whereas among human beings, in modern times, we don't even necessarily have that many people that we socialize with, let alone that we need to worry about kicking us out of their pack. And we can certainly always find another group to belong to, another job, another family. I mean, certainly these aren't necessarily pleasant things to change, but the truth of the matter is that most everyone else that we encounter in our day-to-day lives is bound by exactly the same emotional constraints. They're just as afraid of annoying you or being abandoned by you as you are of them. So if you want to live a freer life, one in which you are not constrained by these emotions, then learning to master them is essential. Because when you do this, you can get back in touch with the original you, your full creativity, your ability to go after things that you want and to create original ideas or, original plans and do things that are uniquely you. So, now the process of achieving emotional mastery is not one of pushing your emotions down. Okay, it's not a matter of pushing yourself to overcome your emotions. It's not a matter of saying, oh, well, yes, I'm shy, but I'm just going to push on through and try to talk to people anyway. Or I, feel guilty about, doing this, or I'm afraid of doing that, or whatever, but I'll just ignore that and do it anyway. Okay, this is not emotional mastery. This is self-torture. It isn't necessary. Because you can actually eliminate most of these emotions if you take the time to apply the techniques that we're going to be talking about a little later on here on the CD. So mastery is not suppression, okay? People pretend to not have feelings all the time. People constantly suppress their emotions, and it doesn't do a thing. All it does is it ensures that the results of those emotions are not under conscious control. If you've follow United States politics at all, you may have heard of the story about Congressman Mark Foley, who is on a panel, some type of government panel, about the protection of children from sexual predators, and then he turned out to possibly be one himself. Well, this type of situation where you have something that you try very strongly to suppress and it pops up somewhere else in your life, it's practically a cliche of psychology that anytime you have an emotion and you push it down, it just is going to come up someplace else because you haven't really done anything to get rid of that emotion. So if you want to have a bigger you that doesn't back down when things get tough, when you have, things that can potentially get in your way, the thing that makes the difference is not whether you go ahead and do the thing that you intended to do. Okay, it's not whether you push through your fear or your anxiety. It's whether you can do it without that fear or anxiety. Because when you do something in spite of your fear or anxiety, this doesn't actually make that fear or anxiety go away. It doesn't change your perception of yourself as a person. Okay, if my problem is that I feel shy, and I manage to force myself to talk to somebody, will that really change my opinion of myself as being shy? Probably not. I'm just going to think I'm a shy person who has to work really hard to overcome this. And that's not the same thing as being free of your of that emotion or achieving mastery over that emotion. So let's talk about how to master your emotions by completely eliminating the emotions that block you from moving forward, along with the beliefs that those emotions create, like the belief that I'm shy because I feel anxious about talking to people. Notice the difference there between the belief that I'm shy and the feeling of I feel anxious when I go to talk to people. There's a big difference between those two statements. And there's an even bigger difference between I feel anxious when I go up to talk to people and I don't know what I should say when I go up to talk to someone. So one of the reasons I want to bring this up is that a lot of people worry when they hear about these emotional mastery techniques of, well, you know, suppose that I take away this feeling that, you know, I don't know what to say to people. I mean, won't I still not know what to say to people? And you're absolutely right. You still won't. However, there's a big difference between knowing that you need to practice some skills, you know, maybe practice some conversational skills or, you know, develop some skill, and being in a situation where you're saying, well, I just can't do this, and believing that you really can't do it, and that there is no other choice for you but not to do it. There's a huge difference between feeling like you can't do something and thinking, oh, well, I guess I need to brush up on my conversational skills. And the latter is being in a situation of emotional mastery. It doesn't mean that you're going to become super confident and charge into any situation without knowing what you're doing and that you're going to feel just fine and just do stupid things. That's not it at all. If you are aware that you lack skill in some area, removing the fear or the anxiety or any other emotion that goes with being aware of your lack of competence is not going to change the fact that you know that you don't know how to do the thing that you want to do. But when you have the feeling that you can't do it and that you're afraid and so forth, you're far less likely to try. You're not going to spend a lot of time learning because, well, what's the point? It's not going to make you a non-shy person to learn some conversational openings, is it? But if you're not shy anymore, then you can learn conversational openings and you can practice your skills and so forth, and you can actually make a difference in your life. So this is the distinction between building up your confidence and, you know, pumping yourself up to do something with lots of rah-rah motivation, you know, when you may not know what the hell you're doing, versus getting rid of a feeling that's standing in the way of you learning effectively and practicing effectively some skill that you'd like to have. Okay, so let's move on to the specifics of how you get rid of a feeling. This is something, of course, that I've covered at great length in some of my other workshops and materials, including the Procrastination Cure, 7 Days to Live Your Dreams, and most recently, my Beyond Belief workshop. So I'm going to cover here mostly information that's new since one or more of those workshops, and advanced techniques since the first workshop I gave on this subject called Banish Unwanted Feelings Forever several months ago. And so this information that you're about to hear here is going to mostly be information that has not been available in any other workshop to date or in any type of publication.